Welcome to Reality Student Ministries, and thanks for listening. We are all about learning how to live this life to the fullest, getting the most out of every day. For information on upcoming events, sermon series, and ways to connect, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com, as well as like our Facebook page at RSM. Now here is today's message.
All right, well, welcome to tonight. Tonight we are starting a new series called Now and Later, hence why I just handed out all those Now and Later candies, because we're talking about this whole idea that who has God called you to be now so that you can do what God has called you to do later. Because it's not just about, oh, later on down in my life, I'm going to figure out and I'm going to do this and it's going to be great. Or later on, I'll be able to be a great Christian. Later on, I'm going to marry the right person. Later on, I'm going to raise the right kids. No. Who are you now? Because the seeds that you plant now, you're going to be able to reap later. And so it's so important that you build the right foundation now to be able to build that house on later. And so we've started this series tonight, and it's going to be a three-week series. And I've asked several different ministries in our church, whether it's the women's ministry, the men's ministry, or tonight it's going to be the seniors' adult ministry. They're called Forever Young. And so they're going to come, John and Annette Millsap, and they're going to come and share, because I believe that there is power in having other generations sharing into us, pouring into us, having other ministries sharing what they've learned and talking about how do we be good stewards, how do we be the people that God has called us to be, how do we be well equipped so that now so that we can live life and do what God has called us to do later. So, without further ado, let's welcome John and Annette Millsap.
As Pastor said, I'm John and Annette Millsaps, and we've been here at Painesville Assembly. August 2nd will be 13 years. And the Lord brought us here from a church plant out of North Ridgeville, and so we've saw all facets of the church is that, you know, from the infancy all the way up to a church that's established, you know, like this one is. But Forever Young Ministry, you guys see these older folks around the church that some of us can't walk and things like that. That's who we are. And we want to target the 65 and over. But if an individual wants to be involved, you know, if they're 50 or 55 and they want to be involved, then we encourage that because we need some younger people in with us. And we meet once a month for a luncheon. Next 2 months we're doing picnics. And we try to mix around since we got the new kitchen here when we have the potlucks. It's a lot of work on the ladies, but everything. But September 26th, we will be married 50 years. And so we have four children and nine grandchildren and one great-grandchild. So that's kind of where we're coming from. And a little bit about our background. We're retired from the Air Force. And that's 1980 is when that we retired from the Air Force. We got married at the four-year mark, so I told her she had to stay four more years to get her 20 in so she could retire too. But anyway, but the Lord has truly blessed us. I recommitted my life to the Lord June 2nd, 1975. Now, that's well before any of you guys were ever born, and probably Pastor Donnie also. But I was saved in a unique situation. And the Lord can use many different things to draw people to Him. I used to go to church, and I'd sit in the building, and I could tell you in no time at all how many lights there was in the ceiling, how many cinder blocks was on the wall, how many beams were holding up. And these were things that Satan would use to distract me from hearing the Word of God. And even now, I'm a counting person. Like if I sat down, you know, I can see a car. I say, eight windows. You know, or I can walk into a room And I can go 8 ceiling tiles this way, that way. The room is an 8x10. So, I mean, that's a way that I keep my mind busy, and that's a way that the Lord kind of works it. But how that I was saved, Annette got saved about a year and a half before that I did. And I was 35 years old. And one Sunday morning, the pastor stood up, and we was in a small church in Hampton, Virginia, in the Air Force. And he said, "We have some bills that need to be paid, and we don't have the income to pay the bills, and they have to be paid by the month, end of the month." So he said, "I'd like to take pledges from people that can give and pay it by the end of the month." So he started out with $100. And I looked over to her, and I raised my hand, and I think she just about fell out of the seat because I was not saved. And then he said, "You got so many." Pardon?
God had to provide it.
Yeah, we didn't have the money, but God provided. So then he said, "How many can give 50? How many can give 25?" and so forth. Then when he got done, he called. He says, "I want everyone who pledged to come forward. We want to lay hands on you and pray for you that the Lord will provide what you have pledged out of your normal, outside your normal income. It will not put a strain on your budget." So I went up, and it was lined all across the front, and they come down, and he was praying. And so he asked me, he says, "Would you like to pray the sinner's prayer?" And I said, "Sure," you know. So he, you know, and he prayed it, and I prayed, and he backed up, and he looked at me, and he says, "John, do you feel any different?" I says, "No." He said, "We're going to pray some more." And then the people gathered in around me, and then the Holy Spirit, you know, conviction and repentance. And so I gave my heart to the Lord that Sunday morning. And I always tell him my testimony that when I got saved, it was the best offering I ever gave in my life. And he's blessed us many times over the years. So he's drawn us closer and closer. We had a good marriage before I was saved and she was saved. But once that we brought the Lord into our relationship, it was just a different thing. Oh, and how we got the money was that I believe it was President Nixon. He offered President Ford. He offered a $100 rebate on a federal excise tax. And so, before the end of the month, you know, all of a sudden that happened, and the money was replaced. So, but the Lord, you know, we give in faith, and He answered. And we've done many things in ministry. We're currently teaching Sunday school in the adult fellowship here, and some of your parents come into it occasionally. And Annette does a lot of Christian counseling. You know, she gets calls from people that says, "You don't know me, but so-and-so said if I would call you, then you will talk to me." And as working in the church, we've done, you know, we've been board members. She's headed up ladies' ministry. I've headed up men's ministry. But as we've taught the different things, we've touched a lot of lives. And we run into kids occasionally that we hadn't seen for years and years that accepted the Lord, and the kids in a backyard Bible school or, you know, or something along those lines. And as that now, you know, Annette was saying, you know, when we're both 72, and she said, you know, the Lord's got something for us in our 70s. But we didn't know what it was. And then since we came here and started coming to Painesville, Brother Frano had been after us to really get involved and take over the senior ministry. Well, middle of last year, it started to dwell on our hearts that that's what we needed to do. And from that, that's been a real blessing. We're trying to visit and get into people's home and get to know them other than on Sunday morning, "Hi, how you doing? Have a good day. You okay?" You know, we're trying to get in and meet the people one-on-one, and we're getting to know the people. But Annette can share a few things that in our walk that the Lord's touched her and how it's made a relationship, a difference in our relationship and her spiritual walk.
Thank you. You'll go nowhere. Well, I have to tell you, we're excited about coming here tonight because when you're young, you don't think that one day you're going to get to this place. It's gotten here awful fast for us. And I encourage you that when you serve the Lord, it does go fast. It does. I remember doing children's church for years and singing songs. You know, we have that new movie coming out, God Is Not Dead. We used to do a song about God Is Not Dead. And it's an exciting little song. We may get to do it yet. But when the Lord spoke to me the first time, I didn't really know him. I was raised on a ranch, which was very exciting. I had a very exciting childhood. I had my own horse, barrel race, team rode with my dad. Worked in the fields a lot of hard nights, but it was good. It was good. You know, a lot of times you watch movies and you think, I'd like to be in some of those places. It was good. A lot of hard work. Have to emphasize that because I worked in the fields from 5 o'clock in the morning till it was time to go to school. And I went to school on the bus and come back home. I got a snack, changed my clothes, and back out in the fields. But you know, there's a lot of God out in those fields. Believe it or not, my mother used to point out to me, you see those little rabbits over there? Yeah, well, God made them. One day I was chopping cotton, and it was early in the morning, and here's this beautiful spider web. I don't know if you've ever really noticed spider webs, but they work hard. Next time you see one, take a good look at it, especially those where the spider sits in the middle. They are so intricately made. And I was going to take my chopping hole and just tear it up with the handle, right? My mother, no. Do you realize how hard that spider worked all night so that he could sit in the sun? And I thought, you know, there's a God, because a spider wouldn't do that on his own. But there has to be a God that told him what to do. And he sat there, he connected his web. So you know what he had to do? I don't know if you've ever seen a cotton field, but the rows of cotton, and they're about yay far apart, like this. He had to crawl down that stalk with the cotton rows on, go across on where we walked, go back up the other side, string himself, and he did that all night long. Can you imagine sometime when you're having to clean your room, and you're like, it's never going to get done. You know, there's stuff all over the floor. I got stuff under the bed and told nobody about yet. I got to move it. But that spider stayed all night so that when it was done, it's actually beautiful, just laced all around. And then he catches in the middle because what he's looking for is to catch bugs to eat. That's what he wants. That's his dinner. He'll go out when they come on there and he wraps them up in his web, eats them later. So when you're doing work, sometimes you think, this is, you know, why would the Lord want me to do this? Because he has a plan. He has a plan, just like that spider. He had a plan for that spider. That's what that spider was created to do. So you're saying, well, what am I supposed to do? Okay? When I was out there watching all that stuff, I'm thinking the same thing. What am I going to do when I get big? I didn't have any great dreams. I didn't know what I was going to do. But God had a plan. So when I got about 21, I went to visit my sister in Michigan, and I went to work on the base for a part-time job. And this young man came in and wanted to give me a ride home one day. So I had gotten to know him because he'd take me to coffee a couple of times. So I let him, and all of a sudden I realized I don't know his full name because our last name is Millsaps. They called him Saps. Now, how could I tell my mother I'm in a car with a man named Saps taking me home? Doesn't go good. So I said to him, I said, and what is your full name? And he says, he's driving. He says, John William Millsaps. At home, they call me John Bill. And he stopped talking. And then I heard, just as plain as you're hearing me right now, it will always be you and this man. And I'm looking and listening. Where'd that come from? Now, I wasn't sitting close to him because we were just friends. But now I'm scooting closer to the door. I had nobody to ask about this, and I didn't get an answer for a lot of years. But I tell you, my mother taught me to pray for a mate. And I tell you, young men and women, you need to be praying the kind of mate you want God to give to you. You want someone that'll be compatible with you. You want someone that you can enjoy. You want someone you can spend 50 years or longer with and enjoy it. Now, you're not thinking like that at all, are you? No, you're just young. But our older ones are, and he will one day. So this is the thing I'm going to say to you. The Lord spoke to me, and I didn't know it. Why? Because I didn't have him in my heart. So then, after we married, 10 years later, we're now living in another state. We're living in Virginia. And I went to church that day. And when they gave the altar call, I got out of my pew and was halfway up before I realized that I'd gotten up. So I went up. The pastor prayed with me the sinner's prayer. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart. If you'd have been the only person on this earth, I would have died for you. That's how much I love you. And he's saying that to each one of you. If you would have been the only person on this earth, he would have still went to the cross for you. And I said to him, you're the one that spoke to me in the car. You are the one that spoke to me. Isn't that awesome? Because I didn't know him as my personal Savior then. But because he honored my faithful prayers, he spoke that. And that's a blessing. You know, when we get older, it's these things we look at. You're just now making your blessings. You're just now making your relationship with God. But it's a good thing to work on. It's good to study your Bible and pray and read. It's good to think about what you want to be. You pray and ask God about it. He'll open those doors for you. I always wanted to be a teacher. But with the family income we had, I couldn't go on to be a teacher. But you know what God did for me? He didn't make me a worldly teacher. He made me a godly teacher. Because I taught children from nursery all the way up to now I'm teaching adults. So I got my prayers answered, right? Because I'm a teacher now. So these are things that God did in our lives. John said we have 4 children. We spent 3.5 years in the Philippines, which was very exciting. And then we have our grandchildren, which I spent a lot of time with. I wanted to tell you one more thing. If your parents do not know Jesus, do you know you may get to lead them to the Lord? I got to lead my mother to Jesus. And I have to tell you, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. I got a chance to share things with her, and my mom and I prayed together, and it's an awesome thing. So if you think, well, my family's not saved, or maybe they don't know Jesus, that's okay. God will open that door. You keep trusting him. How many came in here and checked their chairs out before they sat down? Show me. Who checked their chair out? Did you turn your chair over and checked it out, made sure it was okay? You didn't. How'd you know it was going to hold you up? How do you know it's not broken? It doesn't have to have cracks. One of those screws could get loose, and you'd be over. What I'm saying is you sit down in these chairs by faith. And by faith that you exercise every day, just like that, and you let the Lord grow in you, when you get my age, you're able to do more things for the Lord because you've been trusting him now. At this age, no matter which age you are here, it grows if you read your Bible, if you pray, if you come to church and have fellowship. What you're having here when you play your games and when you sing your worship songs, that's fellowship. It's very, very important that you have fellowship. That's what keeps you strong in the Lord, is having one another. The Bible calls it iron sharpening iron. But when you come here, you're sharpening each other. You're encouraging each other. Just seeing you there make somebody else feel good. It makes them feel good inside because you're coming. And it makes them feel good because now they're going to keep coming. So remember, you're just coming not only for yourself, but for everybody here, from the youngest ones to the oldest ones. This is how we share. And this is what the Lord has for us when we come together. I was looking for checking my notes here. I have one other thing I wanted to share with you. Sometimes when you're at your age, you have things come into your life that seem hard to handle. And this is why the Lord gives you Pastor Donnie and Lauren, for sometimes for you to go and talk to. But Jesus is always with you. Let's say you got lost in a dust storm and you're struggling, looking for a place to go. And finally, the Lord leads you somewhere. And you know what? When he comes alongside you, he's got dust on him. Because he was with you. And you're at a stage of life now to begin to learn to trust the Lord. Learn to depend on him, just like he just did that chair. When things come your way, what am I going to do? I'm going to trust Jesus. I'm going to trust him, because if I stay fast in him, he's going to help me grow up. He's going to help me to become what he wants me to be. That's the other key. We can all want things, like I wanted to be a teacher. And look at here, I got my wish, because God made me a Sunday school teacher. And I consider that the highest honor. But there's nothing wrong with being a teacher. I have a daughter-in-law as a teacher, and she's a very good teacher. But you have dreams. Go to the Lord with your dreams. Right now, they don't look possible. When I was chopping that cotton in the fields, driving tractors, I didn't think there was anything I could be. I figured I'd marry some farmer guy and spend all my life in the fields. But the Lord blessed me. He gave me a military man. And he took good care of me. So I praise God for those things that he did in our lives and that he's blessed us with. You know what? I want to give you a chance to ask a question. If you could ask a question of me or John tonight, what would it be? Yeah, well, wait. Raise your hand and I'll bring you the mic so everybody else can hear. Don't be shy. This is a time to find out what's it like to be old. Yeah. It's pretty awesome until you get tired.
Yeah. What was your biggest struggle?
Our biggest struggle, I think, for myself, was that I always thought that I would stay on this ranch, marry a farmer, and never do anything else. Well, when I met a military man, you know what that meant? Travel. Travel. And I wasn't much for that. I'm a kind of a homebody person. And the hardest thing for me to do was to learn to make home where I was. And it was so hard, especially when overseas. You're overseas in another country, and everything's different. And you have to make your house a home. You have to put up the things your children know. You have to do things. You know what happened at Christmas time over there? It was so hot. My ornaments on top of the windows, they were bleaching out. So I turned the air conditioning up, right? That's the heater in my mind. In my mind, I said, that's the heater turning on. I'm really back in Ohio. It's cold. And even though I wasn't cold. It was hot outside. But I would turn the air conditioning up to make myself think it was the heater. So you do tricks like this. I stood in line for hours to get a Christmas tree. You didn't go shopping unless you had two people with you, because you stood in line so long. When it come Christmas time, we stood in line. I went with two or three friends, because if you have to have a potty break or you're a little hungry, you lose your spot, you've lost it. So they hold your place while you go. Then you come back and hold the place for them to go. And then you get inside the store, and you've only got such a length of time of being in there. So you grab all kinds of stuff, whether you want it or not. Then you look at it, and somebody else did the same thing, so they stick them all on the sides in these boxes, and you trade what you've got for something else, something that somebody else didn't want, and you put back what you bought, and somebody can get it till you get to the registers, and then you put it on layaway. That's how my kids got Christmas one year, because we were only over there. So there's ways of doing things. Sometimes, you know, like waiting in line for the Christmas tree, they sent them in from Denver, Colorado, and I had to sit out in the sun with my umbrella, waiting my turn in line to go pick out a tree. And it's hard picking out a tree when you're my size. It very much is. You look at this nice tree, and I thought it was beautiful. And I'd hold it, and I'd kind of walk around it. Looked pretty good to me. We got home. You know what? Just after where I held, you go, shh, shh. It was only a tree a mother could love. But we had a lot of things. Anybody else have a question?
Was it fun traveling to other countries?
It was fun and scary because you don't know the language real well. And you don't know, in the Philippines, they don't have the safety that we have here. You don't always have, and people wear guns and machete blade, sword-like things on them out in public. So you have to be careful where you go. And because people over there, we were the rich Americans, so if they took anything from us, that was okay, because we had more than they had. So it was a little difficult sometimes. But then compassion comes to your heart. There's a lot of children over there who would come and eat out of our garbage. So what I did is I saved my bread wrappers and other bags, and I put my leftovers in it and set it on top, because they're going to get my garbage anyway. This way they got the food in bags, and they could take it. So it is hard being overseas in some of these countries. It's very, very hard. But God will help you. You help them the best you can. They would come out at Halloween time, and then they'd resell the money for food, the candies that they got from us. They resold them at the Sorry Sorry stores.
Abby, did something wrong that you got scared of?
Excuse me?
Okay.
That's okay. You're saying I just didn't pay attention.
Okay. Do you guys scared that you did something wrong or something like that?
Do we ever did anything wrong? You know, that I got scared of? Well, I tell you what, they had some terrible thunderstorms over there. Lightning would come down and just strike right on the ground, and that would scare you. One time we were out paying our landlord for our place, and Mr. Millsaps was reading me a letter from home and driving his car, and we had the window cracked about like that because we just finished having a thunderstorm. Oh, that's right. I was reading. He doesn't read and drive very well. That's not a good thing. But anyway, somebody come walking in front to go across the street, and he reached in and snatched Mr. Millsaps' watch right off his hand. I had given that to him for a wedding gift. And he started to go after him. No, don't get out of the car. Don't get out of the car. It's payday. They just want to run you to chase after him so they could have robbed him. So we didn't do anything. We stayed in the car, kept our doors locked because we had our two other children in the car. So these are things, yes, that's happened that was difficult. But you know, you have to let that go, because it would have been worse if we'd have chased them. And maybe they needed it more. Maybe they were able to sell it and get something they needed. But it's not the right thing for them to do. But it wasn't going to be healthy for us to chase them. That wouldn't have been wise.
What's it like to be in the military?
I liked it. I did. We met a lot of people from other parts of the world. They became our family. As our family was back home, my family was in California, his was in Ohio. And everywhere you go, the people in the military become your family. You're all in the same boat. You don't have your family with you. So you make each other family. You get together, you cook outs, swap recipes, do different things, take your children together to go to certain things at the base or make a picnic with them. But you make family where you are. And that's what I'm trying to tell you guys here now. You are family here. Believe it or not, you are. In God's eyes, this is his little family here. And he's put Pastor Donnie and Lauren over you to encourage you in him, to teach you all about the things of God, if you'll listen. So when you're not here, somebody in your family isn't here. It's one of you. And you know what? call them. Say, hey, we missed you. Did you really? Yeah, we did. Because your family. Encourage one another to be here and bring new friends. Bring new friends. That's always exciting to do. And it makes your family grow. In the military, our family, and it wasn't just Air Force people. We had a lot of Navy friends. We had Army friends. We had, because they're a lot of times on the same base. It was a very exciting life. We liked that. I did. After a while, I got over traveling, and I got excited about the new places that we would go to, looking forward to what the Lord had there for us. And so it was exciting. It was challenging, but it was exciting.
Did you always like moving to different places?
No. When I was a girl raised on the ranch, I didn't like moving at all and didn't want to. My folks built a new house, and they wanted us all to move to it, and I didn't. I didn't want to. Of course, I had to, but I didn't want to. I was one of those people they call homebodies. I liked where I was at. But you know, the Lord helped me. He helped me. I say, oh, Lord, we're going to move again. I need help. And not only that, it's packing up everything you own and go someplace else and meet people you don't know. But God will open people up into your heart and life. You know, and when you go out sometimes and you're hanging out at the swimming pool or you're at the park, you see somebody standing around, just walk up and say hi. They're your age. Do you live around here? Oh, you don't? You're just visiting today? You know, you might make a new friend as far as someone your age. But yeah, it's hard to move, but the Lord will help you. There was times that I have to admit it was difficult, especially when we got to the new house and I didn't know for sure what we were going to get for a house. You know how women are, and we like to have so many rooms and all of these kinds of things. You don't always get that. Your kids don't either. They don't like it either. Why do we got to move again? I just made all my friends. I like it here. But we have to move. And it was hard, but we stayed close as a family to help them. That's what was good about it. We moved together. And so that made it, in my honor. Okay, so I am going to turn this back over to my husband, but I do want to say one thing. Don't play around with your relationship with the Lord. Make it serious. I know you can't read every day. You could, but you don't always, and that's okay. And you don't always pray every day. But make it a priority as much as you can. Have you ever seen a little fish with a worm on a hook? And it's there wiggling, and the little fish comes up. Oh, that looks like a fat, juicy worm, but I know if I take the whole thing, I'm going to get caught. So he goes up and he bites a little bit of it. Oh, that was so good. Well, that's what it is sometimes with us. We get into the Word, and it's really good. Well, then we go back up for another bite, and we realize we took more of the worm than we wanted, but boy, is this good. And when we take all of it, then God gets us. And that's what he wants. He wants all of you. Takes time. Let him do it, little at a time. He's gotten a lot of my life. I don't have near as much left where I want to do what I want. And that's what you look for. It's very peaceful to do what the Lord wants. It's exciting. It's a lot of fun. You know, the world tells us that they can just do anything. And they can. But what you and I do is what God wants us to do. And he can make it fun. He can make it enjoyable. So I'm going to give it back to Mr. John.
Thank you. Just a couple of things. You hear sometimes people talking about stewardship. And I don't know if Pastor Donnie's preached on it or not, but with adults, it's more about giving our tithes and our offering. But guys your age usually don't have a lot of money. It's an allowance or you're working part-time. God still wants you to give 10% tithe and offerings, but your time is also can be part of stewardship. And if any of you guys, we do visiting with the seniors, and at Christmas time, we make out fruit baskets. We started out given 20 out when we first started, and I think last year we gave out 60. I think Anthony had been part of helping deliver a couple, 3 years back. But we and this is, you know, we look for people to help put them together and to pass them out and things like that. But this is all part of our stewardship, giving our time for something. And as you see the senior gentlemen and ladies around the church, go up to them and shake hands and introduce yourself, and you'll make their day. Because so many times they come in, and just like everybody's busy. And I think one day is when we had a really nice time with you and you two of your sisters. We must have talked for around 15 minutes in the foyer. And we get a chance to know you too. And if you just get a chance to know some of our seniors, Rita, before she retired, she gave us a listing. And there is 70 people in our church that fits a category of 65 and over. And that is a large group of seniors. And when we took it over, we didn't realize the time that you can put into this. And we try to visit people, and Annette spends a lot of time with in going to see them in the hospital and taking care of somebody who has no family. And this is part of stewardship that we give. But one last thing. We have also, we are budget counselors. As you guys get older and you're starting to save your money and you need some advice on how to work something to where you can save your money and give some to the court, if you see us anytime, just come up and say, hey, I got a question, you know, can you answer it for me? And we will try our best. But this is all. The stewardship is money. Stewardship, more than anything at your age, is the time that, you know, and for visitation and so forth. But that's all I have. Do you have anything else?
Now, I so appreciate you guys coming. Thank you so much, John and Annette. I told you guys, always be a learner. And I was even back there taking notes, filling out stuff because that was good. I feel horrible about killing spiders now. You know, that's just how it goes. But so some things that man, I want to just reiterate real fast. And I just want you to catch because, man, that was so packed full of some amazing things. And so often we just glaze over and we just get over. But, man, don't put God in a box. Because how you interact with God now is planting seeds for later. Whether it's in the small things of faith, whether it's in preparing for your mate, and you're like, that's crazy. I don't want to think about marriage. That's ridiculous. All right, who's 16? 16, right? Got some 16-year-olds. So that's when Lauren and I started dating was when she was 16, I was 17, right? I met her when she was a freshman, I was a sophomore in high school. So you have no idea the people that God puts in your life, what they will be to you later in the future. And so that's why I say, man, be intentional about the relationships that you have. Don't just glaze over, don't just gloss over, but man, make the most of these opportunities. Be intentional. Now, I loved what Mrs. Millsap was saying about being intentional about who you are now, about, man, having that faith in the small things and going after, making the most of your days, and don't put God in a box. So that's some incredible stuff. Trust God in the small things. Learn to build your faith now. Lauren does this all the time. She'll pray. This is crazy. But she prays when we go to Target or the mall, and right when we pull in the parking lot, God, I just pray for a good spot up close, very front row, God. And I'm just like, what are you talking about? It's a parking spot. She's like, God is building my faith now because you have no idea what he's going to ask us to do later. I'm going to have faith for the parking spot now because I know that he's going to provide a house later, a job later, you know, something later that I need to build my faith now. And you think that's ridiculous, and I think it's ridiculous. But it's something that this is in the small things. God, Help me to pray for my friends this way now in the small things, because God is going to start building that and growing that for later. So let's pray real fast, and then Lauren's setting up games. We got some drink and some food back there and stuff. Well, some cups of drink in it. That's how we do it in Kansas. All right, don't make fun of me. That's where I'm from. So we got some games. We'll play some spoons. We'll play some whatever board games and all that fun stuff. So be sure and get the spoons, by the way. Awesome. So let's pray real fast and we'll get going. All right. Focus. All right, pray. Dear God, I thank you for tonight. Lord, I thank you for the Millsaps and the anointing that they have on their life. God, that they realize that you're not done with them yet, and that you are just getting started. You are just getting started with the ministry, with the impact that they are going to make for you. God, that you are moving through them mightily. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless them, continue to give them favor with the seniors. God, not only with the seniors, but with my life. God, with these students' lives, God, that you would continue to give them favor wherever they put their foot. God, may they claim that for you. And God, I pray that as we walk, that we would learn how to have faith in the little things, God. God, that we don't know what starts now, how that will affect us later, whether it's in relationships, whether it's just praying for our parking spot. God, whether it's just enjoying your beauty of a spider web. God, because we know that you take care of the birds and the fish and the flowers. God, how much more do you care and take care of us? And so, Lord, I pray that would be ever so real to us as we go about our days, that we would realize that, man, you care about us passionately. And, Lord, I pray that these students would know that there is a God who loves them dearly, unendingly, unconditionally. God, I pray that they would know that I love them passionately and dearly. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to this message from Reality Student Ministries. Our hope is that you've learned a little bit more of who God is and who He has called you to be. For information on how you can get connected to our student ministry, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com or like our Facebook page at RSM. Now, get out there and have an incredible day.